All right, here we are. Welcome to another episode of Sitting Around Talking Movies, or as I've been calling it lately, the Talking Pictures Podcast. I'm Neil Rosen, joined, as always, by Bill Brigoli.
Hello there.
And Bill McCuddy.
I have striped shoes on.
Yes, he does.
And I can confirm
that.
We've
got a special new guest today. We've got Grace Randolph. Now, who's Grace Randolph? Grace Randolph is
much more famous than us.
Yeah, she has a show on YouTube called Beyond the Trailer, and she is the most watched female movie critic on all of YouTube, and amongst the top three, all critics, non-gender specific, on YouTube.
Right. If Lisa Rossman were here, she would say, why do we have to say female?
Yeah. With Lisa Rossman is here next week, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Lisa Rossman fans, she's back next week. She's with us next week. So, you know, is that over 5 million views on YouTube, Grace? Is that
5 million a month?
And 5 million a month?
Yes, I have 644,000 subscribers.
We're going to have to call EMT in a second.
I have about over half a billion views total.
Half a billion.
All without kittens.
You should have like
unless
a McDonald's
in the movie.
You should have like a McDonald's sign. Like yeah. Over half a billion.
That's right. I should. I feel very official sitting here with you guys, though. YouTube's like the wild west.
That.
But
how did you get? Before we get, by the way, we're going to talk today about Dunkirk, the new movie from director Christopher Nolan, and we're going to talk about the trip to Spain.
I saw that last night.
Which is the third in the series of the Trip movies with Steve Coogan and the other gentleman.
Rob Brydon is his name.
Those are great.
We're going to talk about a whole bunch of things. So we're going to talk about the summer so far of movies. We're going to have our kind of like recap of why this summer is not as bad as summer's past is, and actually some decent stuff that's been out there. Shocking to me and shocking to us critics as well. And
I saw something I wanted to talk about last week, too, that we didn't get to, called The Villainous. So we can talk about that. It's kind of a Korean La Femme Nikita.
Okay.
It's quite good.
But, you know, this intrigues me because the whole business, you know, we're film critics, and I've been a film critic for 30 years. And Bill Brigoli, how many years do you doing this thing?
20 something.
Right. And Bill McCuddy's been on the air for, I don't know.
Forever.
I don't know. Who was
Marconi was
then?
My first radio boss.
Right. So, you know, the film criticism, TV and radio film criticism, as well as print film criticism, the whole industry is changing, and Rotten Tomatoes is becoming, I think that has led to the demise of it to like a large extent, because people just go on that website and say like, oh, it got an 18%. We don't want to see that movie tonight. You know, but you have Grace, but I want to talk to you a little bit about this and how this came about. I mean, if you are getting 5 million hits, views a month, and you have, you said 600 and how many? 600?
Neil, you're going to want a paper and pencil for this.
644,000 subscribers.
Unbelievable. So how long have you been on YouTube? I mean, were you like when they first announced YouTube, you started this thing?
I mean,
you
have to get in early. I missed that window. I started a couple years ago, but I was very fortunate.
2 years ago?
A couple years ago. You know, I started Beyond the Trailer, 2008.
Okay, so almost 10 years
ago. Beyond the Trailer was very fortunate to be with Next New Networks, which was like the very first MCN, multi-channel network, and eventually was acquired by YouTube, actually, and runs all their originals.
So you didn't start with YouTube, you started with...
Well, no, I was on YouTube, but you know, you needed a home. You need to be protected. It's like the Wild West. So you need someone who like looks after you and helps you. And they do a wonderful. Next New Networks did a wonderful job. Kind of like it was like YouTube boot camp, and you learned all the tricks and you learned how to navigate the terrain.
Clickbait.
And,
they call.
Well, you know, I'm very proud that I feel like I never trick anyone into watching a video, but you know. I think it gives you an understanding of the system. So even as it evolves, which it does constantly. You're able to read it.
So people who aren't part of the 5 million, and again, we're extremely jealous of that, and we're not going to let you leave here until you get us half of that.
It's
turned into a hostage situation.
Well, people
we
need you to tweet,
people who haven't
you
seen
tweet,
it.
You're going to tweet
oh,
this
I shall, of
out.
Course, of
so
course.
We'll bump ourselves.
Of course.
Up,
you know? And
tell
Twitter...
us, though, what the show, because I've watched a couple of episodes.
Oh, thank you.
Basically, you yes. watch a trailer.
Oh, I do a couple of different things. It's my full-time job. You know, some YouTubers, it's something they do all the time. Sometimes it's not. It's what I do professionally. So I do a bunch of different things. I do trailer reactions. That evolved from trailer reviews.
You started doing trailer reviews.
I started doing trailer reviews. That's what I started
doing. Nobody ever was doing, and nobody that I know, that's a new thing. I
mean, and you do it like Skype. You have picture in picture, so we're watching you watch the trailer.
Yes.
If a joke lands well, you laugh. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, you go, and that's kind of fascinating, actually.
Yeah, I didn't get it at first, but then it started, just one day it clicked for me, and I understood it.
I'll bet studios and directors watch you to watch your reaction to the trailer.
It's funny you say that, because Ray Romano was recently being interviewed for The Big Sick, and he mentioned my trailer reaction. And he, you know, it's funny, when you're making the comments, you never think that the person will watch it. And I had said, I'm ready. I think Ray Romano's been gone enough for a long enough time that he can come back. And he was like, oh, I was doing stuff. No one saw it, but, you know. And so I thought, you know, it was nice
now, when you watch these trailers, have you, I know you're reacting to the trailer, but have you really seen the movie?
What do you mean? Like, have I seen the trailer in advance?
No, you're reviewing the trailer, but have you seen the movie? The actual movie. Like, are you?
Oh, no, I haven't even seen the trailer. It's just totally cold. Like, for instance,
it's cold.
Like, yeah, you can tell.
Like, you've watched the trailer.
No.
And you said, okay, I'm going to
feel that would be a betrayal. For instance, I was visiting.
So you're watching it, like, for the first
time. Neil, there are rules here.
Yeah, there are rules. There's an unspoken trust. Well, like, for instance, I was fortunate enough to be invited to the Justice League where they were doing the visual effects. I'm very fortunate that those guys.
You were on set, or you went to post production?
More post production. Okay. They watch my show. And so they were so nice. They invited me out. And they were so nice, Brian Hirota and John Desjardins, and they were so nice. And they were like, do you want to see the Justice League trailer? And I was like, no, I can't, because I won't be able to react to it then. And they were like, seriously? And I was
rules are rules.
I was like, yeah, I can't watch it. I was like, I'm sorry.
But you review the movies, too. I mean, when they...
So you go to the movies eventually.
Yes, and that gets tricky, because sometimes people are like, but you love the trailer. How could you not like the movie? And so, you know, or you didn't like the trailer. Now you love... Like, for Doctor Strange, I didn't like their trailers, but I loved the movie. And so some people were like, oh, you can't change your mind now. And it's like, but it's a marketing tool, you know?
How many times... I mean, I've seen movies where the trailers are great, and it's like a comedy, and then you see the movie, and except for those, the 2 minutes that where they extrapolated the only funny stuff, the rest of the movie just lies there, and it's terrible. And the opposite's happened too, where I've seen terrible trailers. Mm-hmm. There's a movie called The Idolmaker with Ray Sharkey. It was directed by Taylor Hackford, and it's a gem. As a matter of fact, it's on. If you could find it on Netflix or on DVD, it's a terrific movie about the music business. Tova Felch is in it, and so is Peter Gallagher. He plays a teen idol
many
years ago. And I saw the trailer for this while I was in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the worst. This looks awful. You know, so the studio didn't know. You know this up and down. The studio didn't know how to market the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they just marketed it as this like teen idol comedy, and that's not what this movie was. This movie was a serious examination of the music business in the early 1960s and late 1950s.
Good.
Great movie, and it's really about payola and how, you know, they used to pay off the DJs and people got in trouble, and how they used to, like, Fabian, and who are some of these other people, Bill, that had, like, the one-name sensations, you know?
Dion,
right, you know, like, but
Elvis.
They marketed it as this, like, rompy kind of, you know, fun musical thing, and it wasn't, and it was a horrible trailer, and the movie tanked at the box office, but... they were appealing to the wrong audience. So how many times, is the trailer bad, movie's good?
Yeah, what's the percentage, would you say? In your professional opinion, what percentage of trailers are bad and don't represent the film
correctly? I think trailers are very good these days, which is why I think there's sometimes a backlash with Hollywood, that the product can't deliver. But I think that when things don't go well, it's because Hollywood underestimated their audience and they went for the cheap sell.
No.
Like what you're saying. You know, like they were like, no one would want to see a serious examination of the music industry.
Neil Rosen did.
And you're
did.
Like, but it does, yeah. But I'd say a percentage. I say it's rare that they don't hit, you know.
They give everything away, do you think? Like everyone says everything's
in the
trailer.
It's funny you say that, because everyone complains about that. But recently I watched an old movie, and they had sometimes they'll show you the trailer, and because they want to have extras. And they're like, we have no extras for this movie made in 1940. Let's show them the trailer. And they do the same thing. You know, and I think that now it's a problem because, like, for instance, Spider-Man Homecoming, everybody was like, oh, I've seen the end of the movie. You showed too much. And when everybody did see the movie, it became clear that they didn't. So that was an accusation. I think Batman v Superman changed the game with that.
And the worst trailer that I've ever seen was for the movie Castaway, the Robert Zemeckis, Tom Hanks movie. And I saw that trailer. And I don't, by the way, I don't like to watch the opposite of you. I don't like to watch trailers because I like to see a movie just the way you don't want to see the trailer because mm-hmm. you feel it would be a cheat and when you're reacting to it for the first time. I don't like to see a trailer because if I'm reviewing the movie, I want to be surprised. I want to look at the material virginally. I don't want to know what's going to happen. Now, Castaway, in the trailer of Castaway, which I saw before the movie came out, not only do you see him, the plane go down, and you see him get, Robinson Crusoe get stranded on the island. In the trailer, he actually gets, you see him get back to the mainland.
They're like, don't worry.
Reunite with Helen Hunt. And she goes, I'm married. I thought you were dead. You were missing for a couple of years. So the entire movie, I know he gets off the island and he sees Helen Hunt. And she gets married. So finally, when we get up to that point in the movie, I'm like, all right, at least now it's going to be fresh because the last 2 hours, and there was like 5 minutes left of the movie. Just the part where like he takes that FedEx package, he tracks down the woman who had the FedEx package that he never opened the whole time. You were going to... I was asking,
who makes the trailers? Because it isn't the filmmakers or even the studio sometimes.
No, they are trailer houses. And like, for instance, if you saw... what's the name of the Holiday? The Nancy Meyers movie with Cameron Diaz? Nancy Meyers.
Nancy Meyers. Lots of kitchens. Kitchen.
Yeah, home. Kate Winslet right. and oh, Cameron yeah, Diaz switch homes.
Yeah.
And Cameron Diaz plays a trailer editor, you know? Uh-oh. And so that's... I remember when I was an intern going to drop off footage at a trailer house here in New York. And so that's like some people, it's their whole job is to cut like snazzy trailers.
Judd Apatow changes the jokes in the movies. He did a lot of different jokes in Trainwreck that didn't get on to the screen in the actual film. And he said that's because he doesn't want the audience fatigued when they get there or to know all the funny jokes.
Well, that's the good thing about improvising your lines, right? That you have so many choices. You can be like, okay, that'll be the trailer joke and that'll be the movie joke.
So before we move on, I think that's an incredible number to have 5 million views.
Neil can't get over this.
No, I think that's amazing.
Neil, it's a nickel a view, too.
Is that true?
You get paid. YouTube is the reason people can make a living on YouTube is that YouTube shares a portion of the ad revenue with you.
Do you get a nickel a view?
I've never calculated it per view. I think it would drive me crazy. I think the weird thing about working
for yourself... Go ahead, Neil. Ask her what she makes in a good year.
The thing about working for yourself and working on YouTube is that, you know, you're always like, well, I could like do something like casual or I could make another video.
How many followers do you have on Twitter?
I was late to getting my Twitter following up. I'm close to 40,000.
Okay.
I've been on it 2 years. I have 7,000.
Wow.
Well, I put my Twitter handle on every video.
Right.
You know.
We should mention that for people listening.
Happy. Oh, it's at Grace Randolph. And I try to respond to people. I'm like, I'm really good at Twitter. Now, whenever they move to a new social media platform, I'm like, no. I know Twitter.
What about Facebook? Are you on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook. It's difficult because Facebook wants you to upload your video there by itself. And I'm like, why would I take away from YouTube?
How many people
I thought you could
not
post
that many.
I thought you could post YouTube
you
videos
can,
on Facebook.
But it doesn't do as well. Facebook wants you to have your own.
You're all about the numbers.
We're thrilled.
Yeah, you know, welcome.
We're thrilled that you're joining us, Grace.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
A little history to the audience here. When we had the television show, which, okay. Yes, we're still working.
Come in off the
ledge.
We're
trying to come up with $130,000 to get the show on PBS. Are you listening, audience? Give me ideas. Tweet us.
Patreon. Patreon. You should start a Patreon account.
Is it like a Kickstarter kind of thing?
No, but what people do is it's monthly. And they contribute, and a lot of people
we'll
do that.
We'll talk about it.
So I'll fill you in on it.
Anyway, so Grace and I knew each other from junkets, and you know, I said, you'll do the podcast a couple of times, and then you'll come on the television show. The television show will be returning. Yes, it will be. We're trying our best.
Okay, calm down, Neil.
All right, anyway.
Coming
so,
off the ledge.
We're happy you're joining us, and... Bill Bregoli saw the most anticipated movie of the week that opens this week, namely Dunkirk. Why don't you tell us about it?
Is Nolan going to win an Oscar?
Wait a minute. Before Bill answers, what did you think of the trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think, Grace?
Not enough Harry Styles. Every time it came on, I'd be like, that's your selling point.
In the movie, he's covered in grease. You don't know who...
Does he have a big role?
He's got good size.
Okay, good. Is he good?
Someone said he's a better actor than singer. Is that true?
Yeah, he's fine.
And now
there's not a lot of dialogue for these guys. I'm just going to go into a cold. We're going into this movie right in the middle. There's not a lot of dialogue, as we were saying before we went on. Not a lot of exposition. You're just, as a viewer, thrown into the middle of these guys trying desperately to get away from France. They're all lined up like typical Brits. They're lined up very politely to get off this giant pier. They call a mole. this giant pier. But the problem with the bay is it's very shallow. So the big destroyers that that can carry a lot of soldiers back home to Britain can't make it all the way. So they put out a call, and this really did happen. They put out a call to all the people across the channel in Britain.
The boat goes aground or something because it's
right because it's too shallow. So they called all the small boat owners back in Britain to make
civilians.
The civilians, right. And they have their little tiny boats that can make it almost to shore, and they can ground and then push off and go back afloat again. They have no problem. So they take the sailors to the big boats was the idea. And it worked. 400,000 guys got off.
How long did that take?
Back home, an entire week. And then that brings up an interesting
point.
The French
are like
day
there
and
are
night.
There are three time frames in the movie.
No, 9 to 5, Neil. They left. They knocked off early.
It depended on the tide.
No, maybe after sunlight, it was more difficult to navigate.
But he's right. It's more about the tide than about
the
light.
Tide.
Okay.
There are three time frames going on in this movie. There's the sailors trying to get off the shore. That's like a week worth of time frame. There's the trip across the channel that Mark Rylance's character makes with two boys. That's a day. And then there are the Spitfire pilots who are battling overhead in dogfights trying to shoo the Nazis' planes away. That's an hour. And those guys, interestingly enough, are wearing masks most of the time. So even though Tom Hardy's in it, you don't see him very much.
Gee, Tom Hardy with a mask on. Who would have thought?
I know. Yeah. It's the third time he's worn a mask, I think, for Christopher Nolan. Someone actually.
But this works better than Inception in terms of three different stories at
right.
once.
Right. It actually does.
So here's some questions, Bill. Okay, first of all, would it help, since there's very little exposition, to actually go to Wikipedia or read something about this Dunkirk
thing? No, it doesn't
thing,
matter.
Or are you really explained, but even though there's no, are you really,
you know,
come
people
away
need
knowing
to get
this,
off.
If you know nothing, will you know the Dunkirk
You're fine. Thing? Just go in cold.
Okay.
You don't have to read the history.
Harry Styles?
Harry Styles is in it.
That's about it.
That's very polite of you.
No, he's fine. He does fine job, but these guys are practically interchangeable. Again, they're all covered in grease and mud because they get onto a ship. The ship is blown up by a torpedo. They're covered in oil. They go to another ship. That gets blown up. They're covered in oil again. You can't tell these guys apart, but they're good.
The ship gets blown up and they're not killed?
Some guys are killed.
Okay.
Some guys aren't. I'm not going to tell you who lives to the end of this movie and who doesn't.
The narrative, the story, is it kind of like more of a visual spectacle, and my God, that this is just filmed great, or is the story, or the
story, you get caught up in the human drama. That's what's interesting with what Nolan really does better than he's ever done before. There is a lot of action.
That's his weakness in his
There's a lot of stuff, but you actually do get caught up in the characters, and there are some great, particularly between Mark Rylance, who can do this stuff incredibly well anyway.
Well, I've said this on the TV show, and I'll say it now on the podcast. I might have said it before, is that the single greatest performance that I've ever seen on stage was Mark Rylance in a play called La Bette, and the guy is it's mesmerizing. I saw it with my wife, and then I went back and took my daughter to it. The guy's, I don't know if it's exemplified that much on the screen in this movie or in, certainly I don't think in Bridge of Spies, you know.
He was Oscar nominated but didn't win Bridge of Spies, right?
He was good, but I'm telling you, this guy is the most amazing stage actor I've ever seen.
A lot of stuff with his eyes in this because they pick up a sailor. Well, he and his son...
The Marty Feldman thing?
No, not that kind of eyes. But he picks up a sailor played by Cillian Murphy who's sitting on a wrecked ship. His boat got torpedoed, so he's already suffering from PTSD. They bring him on board his little boat, and he's a crazy man. And they tell him, no, we're not going back to England with you. We're going to Dunkirk first. Then we're going back, and he freaks out. And he and his son exchange a lot of very interesting glance. There is no dialogue between him and his son in these parts, but there are the glances. You know what these guys are kind of saying to each other through their eyes. And it's the kind of thing you can't really script, but he does really well. So there is personal drama despite the three-ring circus of
so
planes and
the movie.
Boats. Yes.
Talked to a couple of
yes.
people. Before we get to that, Oscar nom?
Yeah, definitely Oscar nom. Probably
Oscar
more in the technical categories because I think the Academy might have a little thing against Christopher Nolan.
But do you think it's Oscar worthy?
Yeah.
Do you think it's the best picture contender?
Is it being overhyped? Should people like temper their expectations? Because like right now everybody's like, it's the
best
movie
the problem.
Of the year.
Yeah, and they did that with The Dark Knight. And then they decided, okay, we're going to have extra Oscar categories because we just films like the Dark Knight. But, you know, it's July, and I got a feeling by November, December.
Forgotten.
Yeah, it might get. I don't know.
No, there's no way this won't be nominated. There's no way this won't be nominated.
Saving Private Ryan came out on July 24th.
Did you see it in IMAX?
That survived. Yeah, I did see it in IMAX, and I recommend that you see
it. Was it IMAX 3D?
No, it is not 3D. It's 2D.
It's 2D, so it's IMAX 2D.
It's just real big. It's like
it's 1D. It's Dunkirk.
And as Bill McCuddy just said to you, Bill McCauley, you spoke to several.
Yes, I got to speak to, well, Finn Whitehead. He's, I guess he's going to be second billed next to
Harry Styles,
but he's actually the main character. He's the first person you see.
He's on
the
poster, right?
Yeah, he's the one being shot at in the very beginning of that trailer when he's running through the streets of Dunkirk. And he said that filming conditions were tough, but no one could complain.
There wasn't really any room for personal discomfort or complaining. It's also impossible to complain on a set where your director's going through the exact same thing as you. He's not in a tent. He's in the water with you. He's in the sand with you. He's cold. He's the first one there and the last one to leave.
Wow.
That's great. And also, of course, considering what happened at the real Dunkirk, you certainly couldn't complain about filming it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's one thing they said, too. And also, I talked to Jack Rowland, who plays one of the fighter pilots. And he talked about what Dunkirk, which is, you know, frankly, most Americans don't know what it is, but it means a lot to the Brits.
We often talk about the spirit of Dunkirk. I think even if you don't learn that phrase, it's very present in history books and in lessons, that it kind of set the tone for the rest of the Second World War, and it was this coming together of people to get through such a crisis and this community spirit.
I got to be honest, I never heard of Dunkirk until this movie.
Me neither.
Me neither. Yeah.
I read about
it. How about you, Bill?
I'm an old dude, and I read a lot of books about World War II and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, someday when we do this podcast in my apartment, as I call it, the Museum of Masculinity, we'll see the Battle of Britain is going on in my living room ceiling.
So 96% on Rotten Tomatoes for Dunkirk, not even out yet. Critics love it. And we were talking before the podcast about how this summer is really, I coined it the summer that doesn't suck, because all the tentpole movies, with the exception of The Mummy, and the Transformers, seem to be like really quality films. Spider-Man Homecoming at 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. War for the Planet of the Apes at 95%, which for me is one of the 10 best movies of the year. Baby Driver, 95%. Wonder Woman, 92%. The Big Sick, 97%, with your buddy Ray Romano. A Ghost Story, 88%. And now Dunkirk. I can't remember a summer when we've had so many good movies. And some of these are sequels.
I have a feeling it's going to end after next week. Next week is...
Well, August.
Well, next week is...
Valerian is this week.
Tom Blonde.
You never really get the good stuff.
What did you think of that trailer, Grace?
Oh, I thought that was fabulous. I think everyone's very excited about it. I think it's going to be really
good. Which trailer?
Atomic Blonde.
You saw
Charlie. Oh, yeah. I'm dying to see that movie.
I think that's going to be great.
Yeah.
So what is she, like a female James Bond in the trailer? Is that?
Basically, it takes place... she's a British spy, actually. She's playing a British spy. James McAvoy's in the movie, and she has to go...
Somehow John Goodman.
Yeah, and she has to go behind, like, communist enemy lines and investigate another spy and her former lover who was killed. And so it's a big intrigue. And one of the directors of the first John Wick film, who's also going to direct the new Deadpool movie...
Who's a former stuntman.
Yes. Exactly, is helming it. And so I think it's going to be very exciting. I think that... I just saw Logan Lucky this morning. The embargo is Monday, so I can't review it. But I think that'll be good in the middle of August. But the real problem is that The Dark Tower took that first weekend in August spot, that Maverick spot, and I just don't think it's going to connect. And that's why August is looking so weak, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm stunned by, you know, even little movies like A Ghost Story and Baby Driver. Baby Driver came out of nowhere. It's going to make more money than The Mummy did.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's just they're at every level. It's not just the big tent poles.
Do you think the failure of The Mummy is going to change Universal's plans to do
their version
of the Marvel Cinematic Universe with all their monster characters that they...
Dark Universe or whatever they call it.
Yeah, Dark Universe. I don't think it will. I think Bride of Frankenstein will be huge. And hey, so I think that...
Yeah, that should have come out first.
Who's it
should
have. The Bride of
they haven't cast it yet, but it's Bill Condon's directing from Beauty and the Beast. And he's a big... Of course, he made his career on James Whale with Gods and Monsters, so it's nice for him to go full circle there.
Yeah, and you saw the trip to Spain, Bill, which is the third in the series of
Out for a little while. Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon basically doing dueling Sean Connerys and Roger Moore, and more of the same. The
first one was Michael Caine, the second one was Sean Connery.
Yeah, a bunch of Michael Caine.
And Michael Caine again.
Ian McKellen thing that's hilarious.
Oh, great.
You've seen this movie two other times, but it's
the
great.
The other one was the trip to...
They've been to Italy and they've been to England. The first one they drove around England.
First
the second one they drove
the trip,
around Italy.
If I'm not mistaken.
Right. And now
the
they're dubbing them. Yeah.
How did the food look?
The food looked amazing in Spain. You know, these guys, if I have any nit against the movie, it's that Michael Winterbottom, who's done all three of them now, seems obligated to add a lot of bogus, like, subplots. So with girlfriends and sons and who may or may not show up on the trip.
But is it like we've just been there already? I mean, like, a lot of the trip to Italy, which was good. I mean, it was like, yeah, they're doing this again. I mean, it's kind of like...
It is. It's more of the same. I think it's the funniest one of the three.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, some of the bits are really, really outstanding.
That's high praise.
If you liked the other two, you're going to love this one. It wears thin if you don't love it. So I would say, I mean, I was in a screening room of about 20 people, and there were more laugh out loud moments in it than the other two, I think, combined.
I hear it's funnier than Dunkirk.
Yes, much funnier.
Is there any laughs in Dunkirk?
There are actually a few laughs.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a few, like three?
Don't worry.
Here's some news. Felicity Jones is cast in or talking about casting her in a new biopic that they're going to make about the life of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Thank
Natalie
God,
Portman
because
wasn't Jewish enough.
Yeah. What's that?
Because Natalie Portman wasn't Jewish.
Yeah. So
haven't we all been clamoring for the Ruth Bader Ginsburg story?
So we can hardly wait for that one.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Thurgood Marshall movie that they're making. Although that came under a lot of fire for casting someone.
Who'd they cast in that?
Well, Chadwick Boseman, who's very talented. He's like the bio.
He's like the biopic.
Yeah,
guy.
That's all he does, and he does
did
a great
Jackie
job.
Jackie Robinson. He did Martin Luther. Did he do Martin Luther?
Oh no, he did.
No, I'm sorry.
Jackie Robinson. James Brown.
James Brown. That's
excellent.
Right. That was a very good performance, flawed movie, though.
There was an issue that people felt that Thurgood Marshall's lighter skin tone helped him move forward at that time.
Oh.
And so.
Yeah. That was the big controversy.
Yeah.
And it was lighter in the trailer, too, wasn't it?
Well, it's weird. Well, it's like the whole thing with Alec Baldwin, you know, and the thing that, should he be playing a blind man?
You know,
like,
that's new on demand this week. It's on the list of things I wanted to talk about at the end of the show because we can talk about that now.
Have you seen it?
It's such ridiculous that apparently it's got like 12 or 15% on Rotten Tomatoes, and he must have been sightless when he picked the script because Demi Moore looks great.
Well, there was no outrage when Jamie Foxx played Ray Charles, and I did that junket and spoke to Jamie Foxx, and he said that he taped his, behind the glasses, that he taped his lids down, and I said, well, why did you have to do that? Because, you're an actor. I mean, he goes, Ray couldn't see, I didn't want cheat. You know, sort of like you, Grace. Not like the cheat. Yeah. See the trailer.
Alec is doing the wide eye open.
But nobody
kind of thing.
Said anything.
It's ridiculous.
About
controversy.
The fact that Jamie Foxx is a sighted person playing Charles. Why is that? Why is that okay? And Alec Baldwin is all of a sudden.
I think it was hype. I think it was like a Scott Rudin or a Harvey Weinstein trick. I don't know that either one of them are involved in that movie. I don't think they are. But that's Blind is new on demand this week. Along with some others we'll talk about in a second. Mm-hmm.
We talked about Grace being a YouTube phenomenon, and there was something that I want. There's a short film. It'll only take 8 minutes of your time, and it's on YouTube, or you could watch the whole show on demand, because I'm a big fan of John Oliver's Last Week Tonight.
Oh, yes.
And he's on vacation now, so if you've kind of missed the episode that aired 2 weeks ago, which was the last episode before break, he comes back the end of July. There's a short movie, and all I have to tell you is to put into YouTube John Oliver and Warren G. Harding, the president, Warren G. Harding. There's nothing more I want to tell you about this because it's so short that anything that I would say would spoil the joke. All I can tell you that it features an all-star cast, and you cannot believe that for this stupid little movie. Who shows up in this movie? That is, if you're watching it on demand, it's the very end of the episode of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, which is on HBO. If you have HBO on demand, but you could just see it. Just go to YouTube.
So on YouTube, you type in Oliver and
John
Harding.
John Oliver and Warren G. Harding. You just even do John Oliver Harding.
There can only be one thing that will come up with that search.
Yes. And he, you know, it, the movie's even shorter than 8 minutes. He gives you a minute or two setup before the movie as to what, again, I don't want to spoil any of this.
Okay. And no going there right now. You have to listen to the rest of the podcast.
Right, go there after the podcast. But I'm telling you, this is a really good laugh. And one of our panelists from Talking Pictures, Karen James, tweeted that if you want to see something, sometimes seeing something just really ridiculous that makes no sense could just make you so happy for the day because it's just ridiculous and it's just hysterically funny. So that's my little short movie tip for free that you could just go see and spend 7-8 minutes of your time. And that's what that's my recommendation.
That's why we're
if you
here.
Want to make it a double feature, I think that his Spotlight spoof from a season ago or so was fabulous. It was just such. It was, and also this
movie Spotlight.
Yeah,
Oscar-winning movie Spotlight.
Yes, but he did a spoof, and but it was also a fabulous commentary on what's happening to news.
So Seth Meyers, and I read this, is that he puts up this closer look segment sometimes before the show airs. You know, because
really,
yeah, it's like they want to get it out because this is how, and this is why it's such a pleasure to have you here today. Grace, because you've embraced the new medium. We're old guys. And I mean, Seth Meyers' point of view, or so he said, was, yeah, this is what people are watching. I mean, this is what they got down on Colbert's ass for initially when the show went on the air, that a lot of his bits weren't going viral like
he's
Jimmy
on Fallon, fire now, though.
Like Jimmy Fallon's bits were going on, you know.
Well, you may forget this, but Fallon did his show online for a month before he launched as the Tonight Show host.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Before
really?
He launched Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, or before he launched the Tonight Show. Okay. Well, anyway, so to that point. Seth Meyers is like, no, I want to get it out there. You know, maybe more people are absorbing this content and watching this content more online in pieces, in bits.
Is Corden doing?
Well, that's the thing. I was going to mention him. I think that
karaoke,
he built his show.
I think he's doing that early too.
I think he's getting a primetime show.
Yeah, they are.
It'd be a primetime.
Well, it's
by the way, if you want to make it a triple feature on YouTube.
Yeah. Okay, let's go for
you
it.
You
go
watch to, Grace.
You can watch uh-huh. Bill. You can watch. Just put in Bill McCuddy, Caroline's Comedy Club. There for four fabulous.
Oh, Bill's there. Comic. Yeah. You don't know
that? Oh, no, I didn't. That's fabulous. No,
don't go by what's happened here so far.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I can see it. I can see it. I can see the zings.
Grace is going to be a regular on the show, I think.
Thank you.
Call Lisa Rossman. We're bumping her.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Also on demand, if you want to talk about it this week, Kong Skull Island with Tom Hiddleston.
Horrible.
I liked it.
I thought it was great. I thought it was very entertaining. I thought it was very entertaining.
First of all, okay. I'm a big fan. Okay, yes, the effects were terrific, okay? But this is another example of Hollywood spending too much attention, paying too much attention to the look of the film and not enough money on the script. The original King Kong.
That's fair.
The original King Kong.
Okay, in 1933.
Yes, right, okay, yes. All right. Forget the primitive effects, although it is kind of charming to watch in it.
You remember seeing it as a child in
but
the theaters,
nobody
I'm
nobody cared
sure.
about the Skull Island thing. Everybody cared about when Kong got to New York and wreaked havoc on the city and lifted up that subway car and climbed up the Empire State Building and stuck his hand into like a woman's apartment. And that's great. Nobody gave a
Thank
shit
God you said
about
apartment
the Skull
quickly.
Island part.
So that's why you want to see that again? You want to see more?
The entire
subways?
Movie took place on Skull Island. It's very... I mean, there's...
That's why they called it Skull Island.
Any of the characters, you know, the John Goodman character, the Samuel L. Jackson character, all these characters just seem to be there for a paycheck.
Should they have called it Kong Doesn't Go to New York?
No, I'm
Kong
just saying.
Kong stays home.
I just didn't care. And all of a sudden, Kong is the only one on the island that has to, like, beat the lid.
Well, I will say
Brie
that.
Brie Larson in a t-shirt.
I will
Come
say,
on,
yeah.
Don't
Brie,
complain.
Brie Larson. Brie Larson. Win an Academy Award.
Nice Oscar follow-up.
And you're doing this? I mean, really?
It happens all the time.
Yeah. Look at Anne Hathaway's career.
You know, she's in another movie.
Anne Hathaway what?
Look at her career. I mean, I think
you
it's.
When you're Oscar, you go right in the tank.
You go to, you get smart.
Yeah. And didn't she do another superhero? Wasn't she Anne Hathaway.
Oh, she was Catwoman.
Catwoman,
she was actually a pretty good Catwoman. Oh, I didn't think I would like her, but I did.
What is I like Anne Hathaway personally. She's very nice. Every time I see her, she's very nice. What is with the half of haters? Like, why do people hate
Anne Hathaway? YouTube. YouTube is responsible for that.
Tell me you
why.
Did that.
I'll take responsibility.
I know her since she started out with The Princess Diaries. She couldn't be anything but more.
Well, it's funny
nice
you bring up
me.
The Princess Diaries because I think that she had a lot of disdain for it in an effort to distance herself from that because she wanted to win an Oscar. You know, I think.
And
she was completely naked in that muscular dystrophy. What was it, Neil? Do you remember what was the?
She was completely naked.
The movie about the drug business.
Yeah, there's a guy in the drug business that wanted to.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
You're talking about Love and Other Drugs.
Oh yes,
I love that movie.
It's a terrible movie.
I love that movie.
It's no Kong Skull Island.
She had a disease.
I'd agree.
Right, and then he was in love with her and worked tirelessly to try to get a cure for the disease. And that's a great movie. The guy is about a loser drug salesman. Then he's working for Pfizer, and then they come out with Viagra, and all of a sudden the guy can't get arrested, and then all of a sudden everybody's like after him to like get the Viagra drugs.
It's as bad as it sounds. Was it Viagra?
Or
I didn't see
Zoloft?
That. It was Viagra, right?
Viagra. Yeah.
Blue pills. They were blue.
Well, I just watched Colossal with Anne Hathaway, and that was a weird movie.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Why do they hate her, Grace?
I think it's her attitude. I think that when she was campaigning for the Oscar, and by the way, I'd like to point out that nobody denies that she's very talented.
Yeah, she's
talented. Speaking of trailers, as soon as everyone heard the trailer for Les Mis, Les Mis, everybody knew she was going to win. Just from the trailer. They're like, she's going to win the Oscar because it's that amazing.
Our friend Robert Wall, who does this show, said she's on screen for 12 minutes in that entire movie. But okay.
It's true. But I mean, the Oscars are infamous for that. Like for, what was that?
Shakespeare in Love.
And also Ellen Burstyn for that movie.
Requiem of a Dream.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Right?
One of my favorite. That was my favorite movie that year.
But I just, with Anne Hathaway, I think her effort to distance herself from Princess Diaries, and then also remember when she co-hosted with James Franco the Oscars?
Remember. We're trying to forget that.
I think that she just didn't handle it well. And I think
but
it made her not look
good. But she had the haters before
good.
The Oscars.
Yeah.
And that was just more.
So you don't really know the answer.
Well, she became a joke. There were a lot of good sketches on YouTube. Like someone was doing an impression of her saying the Anne Hathaway school of like acting. And they like really, I think that when you get a reputation, sometimes it just sticks. And I think, to be fair, she hasn't done anything to try and erase that reputation.
I don't know. I think she's a very good actress. And again, personally, I mean, going back to Princess Diaries, I remember she was at Dylan's Candy Bar, which is a thing in, which is a candy store.
It's awesome.
In New York. She had a meet and greet with my daughter was very young, and she was just delightful to all the kids. And
oh, that's so nice.
And then I've run into her.
Because she knew you were the critic from New York.
I've run into her in other places. And, you know,
we're not buying it, Hathaway.
Hello. She couldn't be sweeter. So I don't know. You know, all of a sudden people hate her, but I don't think they know her personally.
Maybe if she's got 130 grand, Neil, she'll write you a check and we can be on PBS.
There you go. So Anne Hathaway.
Turn your reputation around, Anne.
A generous donation of Anne
Hathaway. Like you.
So please like her.
Every show we'll talk
we'll
about how amazing she is.
Hey, elsewhere on demand, we were talking about Brie Larson. She's in a movie I totally forgot about that Martin Scorsese produced with Armie Hammer called Free Fire, about a woman stuck in a warehouse with a bunch of arms dealers. It looks like a funny version of what's the first Tarantino movie. Reservoir Dogs.
I love Charlton Copley.
But it looks very funny. Mm-hmm. And it got 67% on Rotten Tomatoes. Look for that.
I'll tell you this. I had to choose between Free Fire and Colossal. I chose Colossal. I chose poorly. You should watch Free Fire with Brie Larson.
And finally, this movie I totally forgot about, The Promise, with Oscar Isaac and Christian Don't Get In My Sightline Bale in a love triangle during the Ottoman Empire.
It's from the same
director who did In the Name of the Father and Hotel Rwanda.
It means
and
well.
It's not, but not great.
But not great. It's if you're Armenian, you go, this is my story. But there's a love triangle that just slows the whole plot down.
So it's an Armenian Dunkirk with a love story.
Really shouldn't be there.
Dr. Zhivago vibes.
Yeah,
too.
Dr. Zhivago.
Yeah, swarthy lovers. Swarthy
TV
lovers.
This week.
I love that movie.
And
how about the Planet of the Apes nod?
They had a musical version on Broadway last season, two seasons ago, of Dr. Zhivago, which was just terrible.
Well, how about the Dr. Doctor Zhivago nod in the new Planet of the Apes movie when they go into that house?
Oh yeah, that was great.
Amazing. Like, there's so many little nods in that film.
You love
have
that
not
film.
Seen it, it's going to be in everyone's top
hour.
10 list. It's going to be in every top 10 list.
Long for you?
I thought that it got too small, and I thought that
too
Woody
much Caesar for you.
And I thought Woody Harrelson's care. Well, I thought the prison was, you know, it was. And then it became a little bit predictable. But what I didn't think was predictable was I thought Woody Harrelson's character made some odd choices with Caesar. But I'm definitely in the minority. I mean, the film is very lauded. So we'll see.
95%.
Well, first of all, before we tell you what we're going to talk about next week, if you want to reach Grace, I guess you YouTube Beyond the Trailer, and it's going to come up, and you'll
Or you can tweet me.
But
at Grace Randolph.
I want you to tweet Grace.
At Grace Randolph.
And it's at Grace Randolph.
Yes, with a PH.
With a PH. GRACERANDOLPH.
Yes, by the time you get that far, it should pop up.
Right, at Grace Randolph on Twitter. And as always, you could tweet Bill McCuddy at Bill McCuddy, tweet me at Neil Rosen Apples, and Bill Bregoli, one of these days, will join
the
Millennium and get a Twitter account, which he doesn't have, but he's our knowledgeable friend.
I'm going to follow Grace right now.
All right,
yay.
So next week, what's the big movie opening next week?
Atomic Blonde.
Atomic Blonde.
Is it Theron?
Theron. In Afrikaans, it's pronounced Throm.
She can pronounce it however she wants.
Really?
Did you see that Chris Hemsworth said she should be the new Bond?
Yeah, everybody trots out a new Bond idea.
Yeah, Bill is Bill is the expert. Look around
this
apartment.
It. By the way, this apartment's lovely, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Today we are broadcasting from Bill McCuddy's apartment.
Let's encourage everyone to rob it.
But it's true, Bill, before we
it's
go.
It's full of so many valuables.
It's true that they're always talking about the new, let's make it a female Bond. Let's make it an African, let's have Puffy. Make it an, was, make
they
it
were
going
to do a Jinx. Bond. We talked about that, I think, a couple weeks ago. They're going to do a Halle Berry series. With
Trevor Noah does a pretty funny bit on whether or not they should race bend Bond.
Race bend Bond.
Yes, and he
Make him black or make him Indian or make him.
Well, he said,
anything.
"Well, I don't get it."
If you watch his Netflix comedy special, he's talking about it, and the gist of the jokes they're so funny. It's a very good special overall. I think it's much better than his Daily Show work.
I like that Daily Show work a lot. Have you watched?
Then you'll love this even more.
Have you watched it recently?
Not recently.
When's the last time you watched it?
Like when it started.
Okay, like Seth Meyers to bring
it. He's
full
turned
circle.
It around.
Not good in the beginning, but. I'm telling you, on election night, which he was live, and Colbert was live. And Colbert nobody expected Trump to win. Everybody had all these jokes written because it was sort of like an accepted fact that Hillary was going to win. Mm-hmm. And Colbert kind of froze. And Trevor Noah and The Daily Show was brilliant. Roy Wood Jr.
For those of you listening, this is not a repeat. He's just telling the same story he did 3 weeks ago.
As Trump kept winning more states, Roy Wood Jr. had a little bottle about Pepto-Bismol, and they got him. And then it was like a jug of Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, that's fantastic!
Then it was like this, like thing. It took up like half the set. It was a Pepto-Bismol. It was like they were prepared for that. Or if they weren't, they were unbelievable at improvising. Trevor Noah on The Daily Show, could not recommend it more. As a matter of fact, the two best people who listen to this regularly know what a fan I am of the Colbert Report.
They also know when someone starts talking about one thing that you can jump in with a 3-minute side.
So, Grace, what was his
take on Grace Bond? I do think that Trevor Noah maybe was faster on the uptake on that because he's not American. So it probably meant less to him. He was like, oh, this is crazy for you.
What was his take
on Bond?
On race bending
Bond. The basic takeaway.
Thank you, Bill, for bringing that up.
He went to Scotland and he had a lovely time, but he noticed that he was the only person of color anywhere. And so he has a really good bit talking.
Oh, I see. Like, how could you find James Bond in Scotland?
Yeah, yeah. Like you take a second. And he was like, you know, I love Bond. I'm a huge fan. And I at first was all for this. But I got to say, having been to Scotland, it is totally unrealistic. And so.
All right. Well, we'll watch that. So anyway, for Grace Randolph. Bill, yes, you could say goodbye.
Make a noise.
Bye.
Bill McCuddy.
We watch the bad movies, so you don't have to.
That's true. Bill Rigoli.
Hey there.
And me, Neil Rosen. Thanks for sitting around talking movies with us, and we'll sit around talking with you movies again next week.